Today's daf is Nedarim Daf Tesvav. We are holding on the top of Daf Tesvav. Thank you, Elisha, for giving the shir yesterday. And he left off yesterday two lines from the top of Daf Tesvav. And we're about to start the Rayos. We had a Machlokas, and the end of Daf Yudalad Ambez, and the majority of the Daf is about this Machlokas, trying to prove one way or the other in Machlokas. What was the Machlokas? If a person takes a neder that I'm going to not sleep today, if I'll deny that I do sleep tomorrow. So Rabbi Yehuda Rav says he better not sleep today because we're afraid he's going to sleep tomorrow, and that's gonna be the tonight that's gonna make the neder kick in. So we don't want him to violate his neder today, just in case he sleeps tomorrow, and the neder kicks in. Whereas Rav Nachman says, no, it's no problem, let him sleep today. You don't have to worry that maybe he's going to sleep tomorrow. If he sleeps today, he'll know that he's not allowed to sleep tomorrow because it would be a violation of his neder. But the Gemara said, even Rabbi Yehuda would admit that if a guy says, konam eina b'shina l'machar, that today is the Tanai. If I sleep today, that's the Tanai, that's going to make the Neder Chal. And then tomorrow's the Neder, then even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that there's no problem with sleeping today. And tomorrow he'll be careful, because after all, people are very careful about Nedarim. It's just a Tanai that people don't take so seriously. So if the Neder is today and the Tanai is tomorrow, that's where Rabbi Yehuda is worried that people don't take the Tanai seriously enough. But the Gemara is going to try to figure out who do we hold like? Who do we pass on like in this machlokas between Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda Rav, and Rav Nachman? Do we say like Rav Yehuda that he better not sleep today because we are afraid that he's going to sleep tomorrow because he's not going to take the Tanai so seriously tomorrow? Or do we say like Rav Nachman that no, he knows that violating the Tanai would be the equivalent of violating the Neder, so it's no problem for him to sleep today. He'll just be careful when tomorrow comes. So on Amud Aleph, we're going to have three rayas in against Rabbi Yehuda. On Amud Beis, we're going to have an additional three rayas against Rabbi Yehuda. And the reason why all of this is mentioned over here is that it's the first raya is from our Mishnah, and what seems like the most direct raya is from our Mishnah. Then after we get through that, the Gemara is going to talk about how it could be that the Mishnah had mentioned that a guy takes a neder, Homer Lisha Konim Shani Mishameshcha, that he takes a neder against Tashmish with his wife. How's he allowed to do that? Isn't he Meshubah to her for Tashmish? She has a mitzvah of Ona that the Torah says, Sheruk Susava Onasa Lo Yigareya. So the Gemara is going to give an answer of how the husband is allowed or how he's authorized to take such a neder when after all he's Meshubah to her. And we'll try to get to the Mishnah on the bottom of Avin Beis, and we'll probably do that Mishnah tomorrow. So let us begin again from two lines from the top on Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph. The machlokas that we're dealing with is a guy says, Konam Eine Bishina Ayom, I am taking a neder about sleep today, that I will not sleep today, if I sleep tomorrow. So Rabbi Yehuda Rav says, better that he not sleep today, he cannot sleep today, because we're afraid that he's going to sleep tomorrow. Tanan, so it says in our Mishnah, Konam Shani Yashin Shani Mahalik Shani Medaber, that a guy takes a neder against sleep or Mahalik Medaber, etc. So, and we said that all of this could be below Yachal Dvaro. The neder is Chal, and if he violates it, it's a violation of Lo Yachal Dvaro. So, first, the Gemara has to establish what exactly is the neder in our Mishnah. Hey Chidami, what's the case where the guy takes Konam Shani Yashin? What does that mean? If it's like the Mishnah sounds, that his neder is very simply straightforward, that I'm taking a neder, I won't sleep, I don't sleep anymore, sleep isn't something I do, well, would that even be a valid neder? Can a neder be chal on sleep? Sleep is not something of substance, it's not a davar sheyesh bo mamish. One of the differences between Shavuos and Nedarim, and there are several, there are certain Chumras that Shavuos have over Nedarim, Chumras that Nedarim have over Shavuos. One of the Chumras that Shavuos have over Nedarim is that a Shavuah could be Chal even on a Davar She'ein Bo Mamish, whereas a Neder could only be Chal on a Davar She'esh Bo Mamish. So to take a Neder about sleep doesn't work. So that can't be what the Mishnah is telling us. That can't be the case of the Mishnah. Ela da amar konam einai b'sheina. No, what he's saying is not that I won't sleep, but that I take a neder from on my eyes from sleep. So he grounded it in a davar sheyesh bo mamish. He put it on his eyes. His eyes are a davar sheyesh bo mamish, and that way the neder is going to be chal. But still, the idolo yoiv shiura mishav kinale ad avar iser bal yachel. If he didn't give a time frame for when he's not going to sleep, he just took a neder that is on be'enai. So granted, he put it on his eyes so that it's a davar sheyesh bo mamish. So it's called be'enai b'sheina. But still, he didn't put a time frame. He just said that his eyes are never going to be neder from sleep. He's never going to get any sleep. Would we then wait until he sleeps before we say he has violated bal yachel dvaro? No. Vam Rabbi Yochanan taught us shavua shlo ishan shlosh yamim. If a guy takes a shavua that he's not going to sleep for 3 days, and you can take a shvu on such a thing and without involving the eyes, with just saying you're not going to sleep for 3 days because it's a shvua. But malchus of yesh on the altar, we give malchus right away, and he's going to sleep right away because we know it's impossible. It's impossible for a person to go 3 days without sleeping. So we give him malchus immediately, and he'd have to sleep immediately. So how can we say over here that the case is the guy is saying konam einai b'sheina, and we're going to say it's going to be a violation of bal yachol Dvaro when he ultimately sleeps? Forget about when he ultimately sleeps. It's violation of Yachol Dvaro immediately because we know he is going to ultimately sleep. Ella, so must be the Amar Konam Einai B'Sheina Limachar Im Ishan Hayom. No, it must be that the case of our Mishnah is this case that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman disagreed about. The guy took a neder of Sheina that he's not going to sleep tomorrow if he sleeps today. So says Gemara, well, ha'amrit kol b'isurim is daher. No, that can't be the case of our Mishnah, because in that case, even Rav Yehuda agreed that the guy is allowed to sleep today, because you don't have to worry that he's going to sleep tomorrow. Tomorrow's the neder day. Today is the tonight day. Tomorrow's the neder day. So people are very careful about their nedarim. We don't have to worry he's going to violate the neder tomorrow. Elapshita, so rather the case of the Mishnah must be the reverse, the case where they actually argue, where there's actually machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman. Da amar konim einai b'sheina hayom im ishan lamachar. He makes today the neder and tomorrow the tanai. He says, I'm taking a neder that I won't on my eyes from sleep today if I sleep tomorrow. So we say, and the Mishnah says, V'lo nayim hayom ki nayim l'machar may bal yachol dvaro ika. Well, if he's not actually going to sleep today, well then when he sleeps tomorrow, how's that a violation of bal yachol? It's only if he sleeps on both days that it's a violation of bal yachol. Elulav b'dinayim. So it must be when the Mishnah says he's going to violate bal yachol dvaro when he sleeps tomorrow, must be that he slept today. Alma isi denayim. So you see that you're allowed to sleep. V'tiyufta d'Rav Yehuda, and this is therefore tiyufta on Rav Yehuda, that if a guy takes a neder on today with a tanai for tomorrow, he's allowed to do what would technically be a violation of that neder today, al the smach that he's not going to violate the tanai the next day, that he's not going to fulfill the tanai that will make the neder bichal the next day. So you see, it's akasha on Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara answers two answers to defend Rav Yehuda. Number one, ki katani di'i nayim. First of all, the Mishnah is not saying that he's allowed to sleep today, and therefore when he sleeps tomorrow, it's going to be bal yachol dvaro. What the Mishnah is saying is, if he does sleep today, when he sleeps tomorrow, it's going to be a violation of bal yachol dvaro. But in a chinami, could be the Mishnah assumes that he's not allowed to sleep today. If he were to ask whether he's allowed to, we would tell him not to. But it's just that if he does, then it's going to be bal yachol to sleep the next day. Ravina Amar, and Ravina says a different answer. Liolam kiduktani, that really it's like it says, not the inayam, but that he did sleep. Umay bal yachel midrabanan. And when we say that it's a violation of bal yachel, it could be that it's only bal yachel midrabanan, that it's not going to be a violation of bal yachel mida oraisa. So that's how we could defend Rabbi Yehuda from our Mishnah, that our Mishnah is not going to be a kasha on Rabbi Yehuda, that we're talking about where the guy says konam shani yashan and the neder is not going to be chal, meaning we'll go back to what we said originally, that liolam Kalim Kedektani means that it's not, you don't have to make anything fancy, any fancy ukimtas in the Mishnah, where there's a Tanai and another, one day, the other day. No, forget all that. That's not what our Mishnah is about. Our Mishnah is not about this Machlokas, Rabbi Dom Rav and Rav Nachman at all. The Mishnah is what it sounds like. A guy says, Kalim Shani Yashan, I'm taking a neder about sleep. We asked, that's not a valid neder. You can't take a neder about sleep. Sleep is the davar shein bo mamish. So how can you take a neder? Only shvua could be chal on davar shein bo mamish. No, you know what bal yachal means? Bal yachal midrabanan, that if he sleeps, he violates bal yachal midrabanan. On a drabanan level, the neder is chal. But in a chinami, midaraisa, the neder would not be chal. So it's not a raya at all in this whole machlokas between Rav Yehuda Merav and Rav Nachman. Now, a couple of things over here. First of all, we said that it must be that, initially we had said at least, that it can't be that he's just taking a neder about sleep, because sleep is davar shein bo mamish. So it must be that he takes a neder be'enai b'sheina, that is eyes on sleep. And the Ran explains, according to the Havamina, that we're talking about enai b'sheina without any zman. The Gemara's next step was then to say, but he's got to make a time frame. If he doesn't make a time frame, well then right away he's in violation. But according to the Havamina, that it was just without any time frame at all, the chiddush of the Mishnah would be that even though he doesn't have the ability to possibly be mekayim the neder, because he didn't set a time that so it's going to be forever that he's not going to be allowed to sleep, and no one could ever survive even 3 days without sleep, certainly not more. The Mishnah's mechadish, and nevertheless, this neder is going to be chal, and it's going to become usher for him to sleep, and therefore he's going to be in violation of bal yachal. And the Ran points out he's going to be in violation of bal yachal if he goes to sleep. But if his eyes close and he falls asleep without any attempt to do so, it just happens automatically, then he's not going to get malchus for bal yachal, because that's onus rachmana patre. That would be something that's beyond his control. But still, even though we know that he's going to ultimately sleep, the neder is going to be chal, and therefore, if he actively goes to sleep, he's going to get malchus for a violation of bal yachal. That's the Gemara's assumption at that time. Now, the Gemara goes on to say that that it can't be that he doesn't give a shear, a time frame within which he's not going to sleep, because after all, a guy takes a shvur that he's not going to sleep for 3 days, he's going to get malchus immediately. So this is Machlokas Rishonim, what exactly the Gemara's kasha is from shvur. Yeah, so he takes a shvur, he's not going to sleep for 3 days, he's going to get malchus immediately. Therefore, what? So the Ran explains that the Gemara's kasha is that from the Lashon of the Mishnah, Hareze Bebal Yachel, it sounds like the neder is chal, and it's usher for him to sleep. So the Gemara is saying, well, wait a second. Konem ene b'shina, b'shena, without any set time, that's a neder that the guy is never going to be able to fulfill, and therefore, l'chora, we shouldn't say that the neder is chal, and it's just that he's in violation of the neder. If it's a neder that me'ikara, he was never able to fulfill, we should say that the neder is not chal at all, and therefore, there's no violation at all. That just like Rabbi Yochanan says, shvur shalishan shloshe yamim, at the very moment that he takes the shvur, malkin or so, why we give him malkus at the very moment he takes the shvur? What, because he violated the shvur? He didn't violate the shvur. Shvur wasn't chal at all. The shvur was worth it. We give him malchus right away because it's a shvur shav. The shvur was not, because the shvur was not chal. And therefore, a definition of a shvur shav is you're taking a shvur that's an absolute waste. That means absolutely nothing. So it means absolutely nothing. And that's why he's allowed to sleep right away if he just took a shvur that he's not going to sleep for 3 days. Don't worry about the sleeping. That's not a problem. That shvur wasn't chal. You're going to get malchus because you took a shvur shav. So the Ran says, according to this, when the Gemara says Mishaf Kinanlei, that it sounds like we don't wait for him to violate the neder, but right away we give him malchus. So that's really lavdavka, because if the neder is not chal, it's a neder shav. You don't get malchus on a neder shav; you get malchus on a shvuas shav. So when the Gemara says Mishaf Kinanlei, would we allow this adav or isur bal yachal to right? Would we let it even get that far for him to violate bal yachal? No, we give him malchus right away. No, you wouldn't really give him malchus right away. It doesn't really mean that. It means that he just said a neder shav, and therefore the whole neder is, there is no isra of a neder shav, but the whole neder is not going to be chal. It's just that we use that lashon because of the raya that we're bringing from shvua, and by shvua we would lashon makes sense. So mishav kinele, would you let him get off scot-free? By shvua, obviously you're going to give him malchus because of the shvua shav. That's how the Ran understands the kasha of the Gemara. However, several Rishonim understand differently. also some Maseches Gittin and Maseches Shavuos. Both first they quote Rabbeinu Tam that says like the Ran that a neder shav is totally mutter. But Tosfos says, wait a second, is that necessarily true that to take a neder shav is just a non-issue at all? So Tosfos is cholik and thinks that there is some sort of iser, there's some sort of violation of a neder shav as well. And Tosfos rayas from our Gemara that the neder is going to be chal even on something that you can't do, and it's going to be an immediate violation of Bal Yachal, and it's only Misham Ve'elach that it's mutter like a shvua. That meaning the way. So what does Tosfos mean? The way Tosfos must have understood our Gemara is that when the Mishnah says Hareza Bal Yachal Dvaro, it sounds like only when he sleeps he's in violation of Bal Yachal, and the Gemara asks, why do you have to wait till he sleeps? Right away he should be in violation of Bal Yachal because we know that he will not be able to fulfill this neder. And according to Tosfos, from the fact that we ask an Havamina from Rabbi Yochanan who speaks about a Shmua, it must be that by a Shmua the din is also this way, that the Shmua is going to be Chal even when you take a Shmua that you can, on something that you can't do. You get Malkus right away for Bal Yachal. The Malkus is not for Shmua Shav, the Malkus is for Bal Yachal. You took a Shmua about something you can't do. If you take a Shmua about something that you can't do, so mainly you're going to get Malkus because you don't have to wait for the violation of the Shmua. We know that the violation of the Shmua is forthcoming, so it's an immediate Bal Yachal. So it's not for Shvua Shav, it's for Bal Yachal, and that would apply equally to Nedarim. So that's the Shita of Tosfos. So that's the fundamental machlokas between the Ran and Tosfos over here. Now there is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ran. Why is it a shvua that you're not going to sleep for 3 days considered a shvua shav? Meaning the Ran understood it's not a shvua shav at all. It's a regular shvua. But the Rambam and the Ran both understand that it is a shvua shav. Rav Elchanan writes in Kovitzar Simon Lam Gimel, he elaborates in this machlokas between the Rambam and the Ran. Why is it a shvua that a guy's not going to sleep for 3 days considered shvua shav? That the Rambam holds that it's not shaykh that a person can live without sleeping for 3 days, and therefore he holds that a shvua that you're not going to eat for 7 days is also considered shvua shav because it's impossible that a person could live without eating for 7 days. Meaning, anytime you take a shvua that's impossible to do, mele it's a shvua shav. Whereas the Ran understands that it's not that it's impossible to do and that's why it's a shvua shav, but rather it's impossible that you won't do it. Meaning, you're going to do it. It's not that you can't live with it, that you're going to die if you do it. That it's doable, you just die. It's that it won't happen. The Ran understands, a guy takes a shvua, he's not going to sleep for 3 days, he's going to doze off. He's going to sleep. It's not that, okay, he won't sleep for 3 days, and by the end of it, he'll be dead. No, that's not how the Ran understands the issue is. The issue is, it just will never happen. His eyes will close, and he will sleep within those 3 days. Whereas a shvua, let's say that you're not going to eat for 7 days, over there the Ran holds, since you can do that, you can not eat, you'll be dead at the end, but you can do that, that's not considered a shvua shav. That's a machlokas, Rambam and the Ran, whether that's considered a shvua shav. So Rav Chaim just points out that the Gemara Maseches Yevamos tells us, in relating to this issue, the Gemara in Yevamos Tav Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis says that Amra Meir, there was a guy who fell into a bora gadol and he came out after 3 full days. And Amrulo Ein Maskirin Maisanisim. The Gemara there discusses at what point you could assume the guy is dead and his wife is allowed to get remarried. So after 3 days, the Gemara says, oh really? After 3 days? What about that guy who was pulled out 3 days later and he was alive? So the Gemara says, it's a Maisanisim. You can't bring a riot from Maisanisim. Why is it Maisanisim? So because Rashi over there points out, even if he didn't die from drowning in the bar, he should have died Machmas Davar Acher. And the Gemara explains that he would have had to die within 3 days, and they quote the din of Rabbi Yochanan Shvua Shalish and Shloshiyam in Malkanoso. So you see that the raya of the Rabbanan is that it's impossible that he can't that he's going to be in a bar. The bar he's not going to be able to sleep because he's standing up. Apparently it was very narrow, and a person is not able to sleep standing up. So it's impossible that he'd be able to survive 3 days without sleep. And we know he's not sleeping. So Rabbi Chanan points out that according to the Rambam, this makes sense. That the reason Rabbi Yochanan considers it a Shvua Shav is because you have Shaluchios Polashena, you can't live without sleep. So you understand what the Gemara is saying from the fact that he didn't die in those 3 days. You see that it was Maisa Nisim. But according to the Ran, what's the Gemara talking about over there? According to the Ran, when a person takes a Shvua that he's not going to sleep for 3 days, it's not that he can't live for 3 days without sleep, it's that he's just going to automatically fall asleep. But if he's in a bar and he's standing up and he's not going to automatically fall, so now you have that test case. You now have a case where he won't automatically fall asleep because he's standing up and it's impossible to fall asleep standing up. I don't know, it's debatable. I think I've seen students do it, fall asleep standing up, but that's what they say. My 11th grade Rebbe used to say whenever a kid would fall asleep, he would make them stand up. He would say, only a horse falls asleep standing up, and that would be the way to keep the kids awake. Okay, weiter. So the Gemara now had brought one raya against Rabbi Yehuda. We have five more to go. So it says Gemara about 7 lines from the bottom of the page. Tanan. It says in the. I'm sorry. Are we up to that yet? Umi kabal yachal midrabanan. Before we get to that, umi kabal yachal midrabanan. Is there even a bal yachal midrabanan? I mean, the Gemara made this assumption that, you know what, the lashon of the neder in our Mishnah, a guy takes a neder against sleep. You're right. It's not a real binding neder. But midrabanan, it's a violation of bal yachal. So, frankly, Mara, miyka bal yachal midrabanan. Is there a bal yachal midrabanan in Vatanya Dvar Mamutar Vacherim Nagu Ben Iser Iatarashe Latirim Bifneim Shnemar Lo Yachal Dvaro? That the Brisa says that something that's mutter and other people are knowing an iser on something that's technically mutter, you're not allowed to be matir in front of them because of Lo Yachal Dvaro. And there you see that it's a violation only midrabanan. This whole thing of minhagim is a bal yachal on a drabanan level. The Rishonim quote from Rabbeinu Nisim that these are only things that people know that are mutter, and they're knowing iser because they want to be machmer on themselves, but things that people are knowing because of a toast that they think is aser but it's really mutter, that you are allowed to be mati bifneim. This din is when people knowingly take upon themselves a chumra. Beis Yosef in Yardesim Reish Yudalid quotes from the Ran that if they know that it's mutter and they're knowing iser because of a siyagla avera, so that would fit into the sugya in Pesachim Daf Nun of Nosan of chumri makom shalach l'sham. They give a person the chumras of the place that he goes to when he goes to a place that has new chumras. So even shalom bifnehem, you wouldn't be allowed to be knowing heter, even if it's not in front of them, because if you become a member of that community, so then it becomes your minig as well. Okay, so Tanan, second raya. Sha'at nenes li ada pesach. If let's say a guy goes over to his wife sometime between Sukkot and Pesach, the Rosh says right after Sukkot. So let's say the day after Sukkot, he says, I'm taking a neder, you're not allowed to get hanor from me until Pesach. Im telchi lebeis avicha ad achag. If you go to your father's house anytime between now and next Sukkot. So essentially, if you go to your father's house anytime in the next year, you're not allowed to get, you have a neder, you're not allowed to get hanor from me in the next 6 months. So halcha lefnei Pesach, if she goes before Pesach, if she goes to her father's house within the 6 months, so then we know asura ba'nasa ad Pesach, then she's not going to be allowed to get hanah from him until Pesach. Halcha lefnei Pesach asura lo halcha lo. Sounds like only if she went before Pesach, it's going to be asur for her to get hanah from him until Pesach. But if she didn't go before Pesach, she's going to be allowed to get hanah from him before Pesach. But wait, she might still go between Pesach and Sukkot. The zman of the Tanai is for a full year. The neder is only for the next 6 months. But the Tanai is for a full year. So how can we allow her to go now in these next 6 months? After all, she might violate it later. So don't you see it's a kasha and Rabbi Yehuda? Because Rabbi Yehuda says, Enochinami, we're worried about that we're worried that she's going to violate the Tanai, that a person... Don't let the guy violate the neder now, because he might violate the Tanai tomorrow. Whereas Rav Nachman wasn't worried about that. Rav Nachman said, if he violates the neder now, so he'll know not to make the Tanai that will allow the neder to kick in. Not to do the Tanai that will allow the neder to kick in. So there's a raya against Rabbi Yehuda. So Amar Rabbi Abba, No, we're reading it wrong. It's not a raya. What it means to say is that if she goes before Pesach, it's asura veloka. So she would be asked to get it up from him. Plus she would get malchus. Lo halcha asura bialma. If she doesn't go lifnei Pesach, then it's asura bialma. It's still asur. It's only in isur bialma. It's not something that for which she would get malchus. Now before we move on to the third raya, there is a discussion. Someone was asking me the other day, why is it that you're allowed to take a neder that someone else is not allowed to get hana from something? Now you're not allowed to take a neder that someone else should not be allowed to get hana from something that doesn't belong to you, but even for something that belongs to you. So I think if you make something hegdish, so it's hegdish for everybody. But how could it be that I could take a neder that someone that I'm not allowed to get hana from something? So that makes sense. That's a neder. But how can I take a neder that someone else is not allowed to get hana from me? So the Ran writes over here in Dibra Maskel Tanan, Sha'at Nanisli means Mishali, that he's asking her to get Anna until Pesach, if she goes to her father's house until Sukkot, from anything of his. So in the Chidushe Agrach, in Reb Chaim, in the stencils, he explains that the reason that a person could take a neder on someone else, it's not the same thing as making something hegdish, where you ask it on somebody else. When you make something hegdish, the Heftza itself becomes kadosh, and it's kadosh equally for everybody. It's kadosh for me, and it's kadosh for the other guy, and that's why it becomes asur to everybody. But by an iser neder that's much more specific, where you're not asuring the chayfetz on anybody but the other party, meaning for you it's mutter. It's just you're making it asur to him. So it's not that you can't say it's an iser chefza that the object becomes a davar asur be'etzem. It's only a davar asur klape chavero. So that he says that's why it's a chiddush in the pasuk. You need a pasuk to tell me that you have the ability to take such a neder. So he says that's why the Medrash says we darshan from the pasuk could call a yotzi mipiv yaseh, that without that chiddush in the pasuk, there would be no way that we would be able to invent such an iser. You can't take a neder that's going to be a form of hegdish where it's only going to be chal on the other party and it's not going to be chal on you. Ema Seifa, now the Gemara brings Raya number 3, that same Raisa that speaks about, that same Mishnah rather, that speaks about a guy telling his wife, if you go to your father's house between this time frame, well then there's going to be an Isser that you're not allowed to get enough from me in the other time frame. So Ema Seifa, Achara Pesach Bebal Yachal Dvaro, that after Pesach it's a violation of Bal Yachal Dvaro, meaning that if she goes to her father's house after Pesach, so she's violated, that there's a violation of Bal Yachal Dvaro. But if there was no hana'a before Pesach, mi ika bal yachel? Is there really a bal yachel when she went after Pesach? El pshita desani, must be that she got hana'a from her husband before Pesach. That must be the assumption. Alma mishani. So you see that you're allowed to get the hana'a from the husband before Pesach. V'tiyufta Rav Yehuda, and that's therefore a kasha on Rav Yehuda, meaning that obviously if we're going to say that her going after Pesach is a violation of bal yachel, it must be that she was nana from her husband before Pesach. And it must be that she's allowed to be nana from her husband before Pesach, because we're so meich that if she gets hana before Pesach, she'll know that she's not allowed to go to her father's house until Sukkot, and she'll be careful about it. So that's the tiyufta on Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda holds that we don't assume anybody's careful about anything, that we don't let them violate the neder now, because they might violate the tanai the next day. So says Gemara, no, ki katani di'i is honey. It doesn't say that that she's allowed to get hana if she got hana from the husband before Pesach, and she goes after Pesach, then it's a violation of Bal Yachel. But in Achinami, it doesn't mean that she's. We're never suggesting that she's allowed to get the hana. What if she does get the hana? Who gets the malchus over here? There's machlokes Rambam and the Ran. If she goes to her father's house and she gets hana from the husband, who gets the malchus? The Rambam in the 10th paragraph of the Darim writes that the madir is loka, and therefore over here the husband is he's the one that took the neder. So it's lo yachel dvaro, that you're not allowed to be machal dvaro, your words. Whose words were they? It was the husband's words. So she's going to get on us. She's going to go. The yisr is on her, but the malchus is on him. That he has to make sure that his words don't become mechulal. Whereas the Ran understands understands that no, that it's the mudar that gets malchus, and over here would be the isha, the woman who gets malchus when she gets hanar from the husband, because it's the person that the isser is chal on as a result of the neder that's considered to be in violation of bal yachal. Lo yachal dvaro means on the matter, not on the dibur. It doesn't mean on the words. It means don't violate this whole thing. But the husband would not get malchus because he didn't violate any isser neder. When he was mahana her, right? When he gave her hana, the chalos iser is only on her that she shouldn't get hana from him. So that's the machlokas, Rambam and the Ran, who would get malchus. The Ran proves that the woman is the one that gets the malchus from a Gemara in Nida. The Gemara in Nida says in the Brisa Hishva Kosves Hakatan Legadol Lizodon Shvur LeIser Ulebal Yachel. The Gemara explains what's the case where a katan is bebal yachel. It's hikdisho a katan va'achlu acherim es hegdish, that a katan makes something hegdish and other people eat the hegdish, that they get malchus because of bal yachel. So you see that the mudar is the one that gets malchus bal yachel. It's those who actually violate the neder. It's not the one who used the words to make the neder bichal. According to the Rambam, no one else should get malchus when a katan is with his words created the neder. So that's one of the Ran's rayas against the Rambam about who it is that would get malchus in this case. Okay, vayt, raya number four. Fourth raya in the Gemara. So Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, Sha'at nenes liad achag. Again, continuing in that same Mishnah, Sha'at nenes liad achag. Let's say the guy takes the neder. You're not allowed to get enough from me until Sukkis, im telech lebeis avichad apesach. If you go to your father's house before Pesach, which means he's saying that the neder is going to be a 12-month neder, but the Tanai is fulfilled within the next 6 months. So if any time in the next 6 months you go to your father's house, then for the next 12 months, you're not allowed to get anav from me. Halcha lefnei Pesach, if she goes to her father's house before Pesach, asura bahana aso ad achag. She's not allowed to get anav from her husband until Sukkis. Umuteres leilich achar Pesach. And she's certainly allowed to go to her father's house after Pesach. That's not going to be an issue at all. Holcha asura, lo holcha lo. What does it make it sound like? Only if she went to her father's house before Pesach, she's asura to get hana from him. But if she has not yet gone to her father's house before Pesach, she's allowed to get hana from him. There's no isra hana. But wait, as long as we're still holding before Pesach, shouldn't you have to worry that maybe she will go to her father's house? How can you say, let her get hana, don't worry, it's not going to be a violation of the neder, because she hasn't gone to her father's house yet? Maybe tomorrow she'll go to her father's house. It could still yet be a violation of the neder. She still might fulfill the Tanai. So it must be that the Gemara is assuming, not like Rabbi Yehuda, that the Mishnah is assuming, rather, not like Rabbi Yehuda, that don't worry, let her violate what would be the neder today, because she'll be careful about the Tanai tomorrow. If she knows that violation of this neder is going to make the Tanai kick in, she'll be careful about the Tanai when that comes up. So that's a raya against Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rava, the Gemara says, not a raya. Hu adin dafil lo halcha asura. The same would be true even if she didn't go. It would be asura. Halcha asura viloka, lo halcha asura bialma. The difference is that if she goes, it's asura and she gets malchus. If she doesn't go, it's asur, but she's asura, but there is no malchus. That's the only difference between halcha and lo halcha. But in a chinami, either way, she's not going to be allowed to get hana from the husband because she still might go, and the neder still might be chal. That was raya number four. Now raya number five. Meiser, or I guess you could say these are six kashas on Rabbi Yehuda, six rayas against Rabbi Yehuda, however you want to say it. Meisve, another brisa now. Kikar zu alai hayom, im eilich l'makom ploni l'machar. I'm taking a neder that this kikar, this loaf of bread, will be usher to me today, if I go to makom ploni l'machar. If I go to a certain place, tomorrow. So what did he do? The neder is today, the tanai is tomorrow. So thinking in terms of Rabbi Yehuda Merav would say that you better not violate that neder today, you better not eat that kikar today, because you might go l'makom ploni l'machar. Achal, so it says in the Braisa, if he eats it today, hareza bibal yelech, then he better be careful not to go tomorrow, because then it will turn out the mafreya that when he ate it today, it's a violation of a neder. So, but bottom line is, you see that he's allowed to eat it today. Not like Rabbi Dovid, Rabbi would say, don't eat it today because you might go tomorrow. Over here, we're saying, achal, he ate it today, no problem. Just be careful, don't go tomorrow. It says, Mikatani ochel, does it say he can eat it today? Ochal katani. It says, if he ate it in the unfortunate circumstance that he unwisely chose to eat the kikar today, then he really better be careful not to go l'makom ploni l'macha. That's all it's saying. D'ki achal hareze bebal yelech, that if he ate the kikar, then he's got to be careful not to go the next day. So now raya number six, final raya. Halach hareze bebal yachal dvarav. If he did go the next day, he ate the kikar yom, and then he went the next day, it's a violation of bal yachal dvarav. But mahalich lo. Notice the Bryce never says that if the guy did what he was supposed to do, then don't worry, just be mahalich. He can go the next day. Why? According to Rabbi Yehuda, if he did what he was supposed to do, he didn't eat the kikar on the first day, because you're not allowed to eat the kikar on the first day, and therefore mahalich. Don't worry, second day you can go, and you can let the neder be chal, because you already know that you didn't violate the neder. It never says that, because it never builds an assumption that he doesn't eat the kikar on the first day. Which means, against Rabbi Yehuda would always work with that assumption that he's not eating the kikar on the first day because it's too risky. But apparently the Braisa isn't worried about that. So the kasha, Rabbi Yehuda, it's therefore a kasha on Rabbi Yehuda. So Amalek Rabbi Yehuda respond, who had been to listen to mahalich? The truth is, it should have said mahalich. It should have said that in a normal case, he could be mahalich l'machar. He can just go the next day. But I did the ksami resha achal, de lo misni le ochel, tani sefer halach. But since when it speaks about his eating of the kikar, it speaks about it in bidieved terms, because it has to, since he's not allowed to eat the kikar, so it says achal, not ochel, so it speaks about the tanai, it also speaks about it in bidieved terms. If he was halach, not mahalich, that he should go. But in a chinami, as far as the tanai is concerned, he can violate that in lechadchila terms. He can go because he's not allowed to eat the kikar today, and as long as he does what he's supposed to do today, he's fine to go tomorrow. So bottom line is, six kashas on Rabbi Yehuda. We thought we had six different rayas against Rabbi Yehuda, and all of them are rejected. Rabbi Yehuda has a way of responding to each and every one of them. Ha'omer li'isha, vayte now nusugya. Omer li'isha, konim shani mishamshach harei zeb v'al yachal dvaro. The Mishnah said if a guy takes a neder on tash v'shamita with his wife, it's a violation of v'al yachal dvaro. Frek the Gemara, how is a man allowed to take such a neder? V'mishtabid l'midal raisa. He's mishubatur on a dal raisa level to have tashmish. D'chsiv, because the pasuk says, she'era ksusa va'onasa lo yigareya. That the man cannot withhold from his wife, lo yigra. The man cannot withhold from his wife, she'er ksus and ona. So ona is tashmish. That's his mitzvah of being mishamish's wife. So how is it that he's allowed to take such a neder that she's not allowed to have tashmish with him? So answers Gemara, but Omer hana'as tashmishcha alai. He gets away on a technicality. He said, he didn't say that you're not allowed to have tashmish with me. He said, hana'as tashmishcha alai. I'm not taking the neder on you, I'm taking the neder on myself, that I'm not allowed to get hana'ah from tashmish with you. So he can't have tashmish now. It would be a violation of his nether because he would be getting hana'ah if he would have tashmish with her. Damrav kahana tashmishi alecha. It's a technicality. It really technically means the same thing. But if he formulates it in a way where he says, Tashmish alecha, that my Tashmish is going to be an Isra of Hana on you, so then we force him and he has to be Meshamish Shibudi Meshabadadlei. Because there's a Shibud, he has a mitzvah's ona. Hana'as Tashmishcha alai, but if he's clever enough to formulate it otherwise, where he says, Hana'as Tashmishcha alai, Aser, then it's going to be Aser, She'in Machin Lo La'adam, Davra Aser Lo. Because once he took an effective neder, then it's going to be on himself, that neder is going to be binding, and we're not Machil to a person, we don't make a person do something that is that's Aser to him. Now in the Gemara's Kasha, HaMishtabi L'midah Raisa, there is a Machlok for Rishonim, how to understand what the Kasha is. Some of the Rishonim understand is that since the husband is Meshubah to the wife, so she's Nanis Mishtabi, mishal atzma, she's not nanis mishalo. She's getting anah from. It's not a violation of getting anah from him. It's being nana mishal atzma, and therefore he can't aser her on something that belongs to her. Meaning, we always said the rule of a neder is you can make whatever you want in the world aser to yourself. You can make your things aser to somebody else. But what you cannot do is make somebody else's things aser to somebody else. So the way Rav Rishonim understand over here is how can he take a neder against Tashmish? That's hers. That belongs to her. That's her right. So he has no ability to make it aser to her. Shidun Betz's quotes from the Re'im a little differently. That since Minat Torah, the husband is Meshubad for the mitzvah of Sherek Susva'ona, so how could he aser the Tashmish? Not because of the Shibud to the Isha, but because he's being Mevatel the mitzvah of Sherek Susva'ona in the Torah. I, Nedarim Archal, to be Mevatel the mitzvah. We're going to have a mission later on. That's only when you aser a sukkah alav b'neder. You take a sukkah and you say that neder yeshiva sukkah alai or something like that. That the sukkah is the cheftza that becomes aser, and the sukkah is not meshubah to the mitzvah. So it's not as blatant a violation of a bittul of a mitzvah. But when you aser yourself, kodem shalo eshev b'sukkah, that you're not going to sit in the sukkah, even though it's a neder, it's b'lashon neder, it's not going to be chal, because then it's nirakim avatel mitzvah. And that's what's going on over here, when he's asering the tashmish, which he actually has a chiyuv to. So the Rishonim ask, what about the mitzvah of Puravu? Why are we only dealing with the mitzvah of Ona? And a whole bunch of other interesting discussions that come up over here, starting from the Ran, but we're out of time for today, so tomorrow we will pick up from the Mishnah.